Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to Jefferson County Commissioners Court meeting for Tuesday, September 24th, 2019. We are on the record at 10:32 a.m. Begin our meeting today with an invocation led by Commissioner Weaver, followed by the pledge of allegiance by Commissioner Stenson.
Lord God, King of heaven and earth, direct our minds and bodies throughout this day so that we may say and do the things that are pleasing to you. Forgive us when we fail you. In Jesus Christ's name we pray.
Amen.
Please join me.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
All right, before we begin our regular agenda, I'm going to invite up the podium of leaders Wayne and Wendell with the Texas Baptist Men, who are collaborating with the American Red Cross at the First Baptist Church in Nederland. And tell us what your mission is and what you plan on doing while here. And please accept my sincere gratitude for your presence.
Thank you, Judge and Commissioners. It's an honor for us to be here and to be invited to speak this morning. My name is Dwayne Carter, and I'm the Director of Disaster Relief for Texas Baptist Men, a volunteer organization that covers Texas Baptist churches all over the state. Currently, we are set up at First Baptist Nederland, and we have a feeding unit that is in partnership with the Red Cross. And the feeding unit is a 15,000 meal unit. We'll cook the food for the Red Cross, and then they will put it in their herb, the little ambulance Red Cross vehicles, and cart it around and deliver it to the residents in need for the food. I've been in contact with Commissioner Weaver, and he set up a couple distribution points because some of the streets are the people's stuff's out at the road so close it's hard to drive through. So that's what we're doing. We're also in town helping people, or in the county, matter of fact, in a 3 or 4 county area, helping people clean out their homes, do mold remediation with a chemical that we have, and everything that Texas Baptist Men does, we do for free. No cost to anyone, homeowner, county, cities, nothing. It's just it's a volunteer base. I hate to say this is, you know, the second time in 2 years we've been out here doing the same thing. We hope this breaks a little bit over the next. We don't want to make this a 2-year pattern.
Don't take this the wrong way, but we'd be happy to never see you again.
Absolutely. I don't know. I kind of like it down here. I don't know that I'd be never happy to come back. But in this circumstance, anyway. But anyhow, we're just here to help your citizens, citizens of your county and the neighboring counties. You can go to our website, which is texasbaptistmen.org. There's some phone numbers and an email on there. If any of the residents need help, they can make a phone call to those numbers or send an email, and we'll get people out as soon as possible to be able to help them out. So I just want to let you know what we're doing.
Dwayne, I just wanted to echo Judge Brannick's comments and just let you know I've enjoyed working with you over the last few days. And let the court know that they have a county map that shows the entire county. I encourage each commissioner to visit with them when you have time, and you can give them more detailed information about your precinct. But I did drop some maps off to them so that they can serve the entire county with their resources that they have. And I thank y'all for being here. Is there a Red Cross representative here as well?
I'm not sure. He was in the meeting that I snuck into. Okay.
Well, send our thanks to him as well. So.
One question, though.
Yes,
you
sir.
Said the Red Cross is helping you by setting up, I guess, to transport or to locate in different areas?
Correct.
Okay.
Correct. Our main job in the feeding aspect of it is to bring the kitchen in, set it up, and cook the food. And our partnership with them is then they come and get it and take it out into the community.
Thank you.
Yes, this is Wendell Romans. He's here with me. If you go to First Baptist Nederland, he would be the guy that you would contact, and he would be the one that you could tell anybody. You can give information for your precincts, your particular precincts. If they need help, they would go see Wendell.
If you have time to wait until the end of the meeting, if you wouldn't mind providing each of the commissioners with one of your business cards.
Absolutely.
ministry cards.
We can do that.
We appreciate it.
Thank you, Judge.
Thank you both.
Thank you.
Begin our agenda today with items under purchasing. Item A is consider possibly approve a notice to proceed to DRC Emergency Services LLC, Bush and Debris Removal Services in Jefferson County, Precinct 1, Precinct 2, Precinct 3, and Precinct 4, in accordance with the request for proposal number 18-022/YS. And that's a correction from the agenda, which has it as 029. That number is 022. The date of commencement to be determined based on muckouts. Item B is consider and possibly approve a notice to proceed for debris monitoring services to Tetra Tech Inc. for Jefferson County Precinct 1, Precinct 2, Precinct 3, and Precinct 4, in accordance with RFP 18-029/YS. Date of commencement will be determined. Item C is consider and possibly approve a discretionary exemption as authorized by local government code Section 262.024A7D for items that can be obtained from only one source due to captive replacement parts components for equipment to the Dingo Group, Pete Jorgensen Marine for two replacement lower motor units for the Marine Division, the amount of $9,891.10. Money's coming from the 2017 Fort Security Grant. Item D is to consider and properly approve execute receiving file of jock contract with Southeast Texas Construction Corporation for the repair of Jefferson County Fort Arthur Health and Welfare Adult Probation Building in the amount of $507,736.33 in accordance with the Choice Partners Jock Texas Contract 15/04/1JN-11-2015. Do we have a motion on those items under purchasing?
Move the question.
Second by Commissioner Weaver. Second by Commissioner Arnold. Discussion.
Judge, would this be appropriate time to have the DRC people come up to the podium? I have a few questions.
Yes, sir.
Judge, yeah, let me, we have Joe Newman, Mark Bush from DRC, and Simon Carlisle from Tetra Tech, our debris monitor, and so they should be ready to give you an update on where they are.
Okay. Thank you. Gentlemen, thank you for being here. We appreciate your support for our county. How many trucks per precinct?
We're looking currently to mobilize 10 to 12 trucks, so we can divide that up depending on the need.
And how many rounds will you be making?
Typically, we make three. Okay.
And what is the process on picking up the debris? As you know, a lot of our homeowners are anxious to get stuff out of their homes. We try to put out information, and most, unfortunately, most people have been through this process before. But when this stuff gets stacked out on the right-of-way, sometimes, you know, carpet is not exactly away from sheetrock, or everything's not just perfect. And my point is, I don't want to put these people that have already suffered through more burden trying to figure out how to unravel whatever's in front of their homes. So what is your plan when you come out to a location and you see stuff that may not be exactly perfectly stacked?
The only materials that really need to be segregated are what we refer to as white goods, which are your appliances, refrigerators, stoves, stuff of that nature, and e-waste, or HHW, which is e-waste is electronics, TVs, radios. We can't pick that up with general debris, or HHW, which is hazardous household waste, aerosol paint cans, diesel cans, stuff of that nature. That all has to be segregated. As far as sheetrock, carpet, all that can be piled together. That's all considered eligible C&D.
Next question as it relates to that is, are you having some information that you're going to push out to us that we can then disseminate out in the precinct?
Yes, sir.
Like a flyer of some sort. We got some pictures that we've used that have been very, very helpful that emergency management has pushed out, but that'd be good. Second thing, tracked vehicles on roads. When we have skid steers come in and pick up this debris, it just tears our county roads up. What kind of equipment are we using to do that so that, number one, doesn't tear up the road, number two, doesn't scar up our ditch and, you know, mess up our drainage in that particular area, that ditch line?
Sure. At this point, we're not planning on using any tracked equipment at all, other than at the debris collection site. We'll be using the big tandem trucks, the grapple trucks. That's basically
fly. We need to get those as soon as possible. We have pods that are set up that people will be coming through there, and we can get that information to them. We need to get that information out as soon as possible.
Yes, sir.
Because I can tell you, I've already driven my precinct, and I know there's a large number of people that went in and start cleaning there, cleaning out.
Yes, sir. We can get that to you. I'm going to get that to you by business today.
One more question as it relates to picking up. We've all been through this before, and what I've seen, and I'm trying to pinpoint exact time frame and all that, but if you say there's 10 to 12 trucks per precinct,
right,
these trucks get paid per load, okay? Right? Right?
Yes, sir.
So what I don't want to see is four or five trucks peeling off of a precinct going somewhere else so they can grab more loads. We need to keep those trucks equally distributed throughout the county, because what that ends up doing is the precinct ends up short trucks.
Yes, sir.
Because they're trying to make more loads.
Sure.
Okay?
Yes, sir.
My biggest concern, one of the issues we had for Harvey and I think Ike also, is some of the homeowners mucked their house out and put it right next to their home. What was that? We got a waiver, some type of easement waiver where you can go on their property. What is your strategy for that, Judge? Do we have to go ahead and do
they
that?
They have to be able to reach it.
Yeah, it needs to be accessible from the
We went through this before, and some people had to move the pile again. I mean, and we had to come back and do a waiver, or easement waiver, or something.
I think it's your private property, right, for reach removal. We're not at that point yet, because if they can get it to the right of way, it's where they need to get it as much as possible.
I understand that. Because that's what we talked about last
time. Yeah, but what you get to is you don't want to go grab somebody's stuff that they're just putting out to dry now. And all of a sudden, you know, we grab
I think what the...
One thing we have done this rodeo, guys. Everything you said is right. But when we started the process for Harvey, and I think Ike went out, that just got on, it came up that some people just went out there and put the stuff right next to their house. The debris removal people came and removed half the pile and left the other pile, and then we had to come back and do a waiver for them to go on the people's property, which the people had to sign. The homeowner had to sign, but we gave them the authority to do that. I think all that needs to be covered in this debris contract, so we don't have to come back, and people would understand that.
Yes, sir.
And just to make this point, what he's talking about is some of our county right-of-way along our roads, very limited. There might be 2 foot from edge of road to the front side of the ditch. So people would stack on the back side of the ditch, which is technically on their property, but not in county right of way. And what we don't want, what we saw last time, is that people were splitting hairs. Well, we can't really pick that up because that's on the back side of the ditch. If the cherry picker can reach over there and grab it on the back side of the ditch, because the homeowner can't put it, because they'd be in the roadway almost if they stopped. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, that makes perfect sense to me. That's what I'm saying.
Yes, sir.
So I just want to make sure we cover all those bases where you guys are going to get a half a pile because the law say that's all you can get, and then you have to go back and get the other half after we do a waiver.
Yes,
sir. I mean, I just don't understand.
That would require a lot of
smarter week. Yeah, that's it.
Property assessment with monitoring can probably touch more on the process.
Also, after we had a situation where they really had to find $1.2 million to go get debris off of some land they had secured to the state.
That's not going to happen here because we've only got one temporary debris site and it's on county property.
Okay, that's what I want to make sure.
On that one temporary debris site,
yes,
we have money aside to clean that debris site out, or is it a part of the contract?
I think that's one where they'll put back some mud. Because it is county property,
okay,
they usually normally, with their lease from the landowner, they have to put it back. So,
please understand, we're glad y'all are here.
We're very
glad. But we have constituents that have concerns, and they've already been through enough. So we just want to make sure we're asking the right questions.
Sure.
Not only that, we've been through this rodeo, guys. Not us, but but we make mistakes over and over again that we shouldn't make. So I appreciate you guys.
Yes, sir.
And Commissioner,
the other question, go ahead. But I was going to say the other question. We, you know, we said date of commencement. I know you discussed a little bit about their first runs there, so we might want to talk a little bit about that.
I got stuff already out.
People are doing it. We're recovering.
So let me object on that.
I'd say Saturday.
Yeah.
This coming Saturday, sir?
Yeah. So we need to have, I'll speak for my precinct. I would like to meet y'all to meet with my road superintendent so we can provide you a map that's highlighted showing you the areas that are flooded.
Yes, sir.
So that you can work off that map and you can section that. We'll get out of your way. I just want to provide you the map and be able to sit down with you and show you the areas.
Yes, sir. And so any type of recommendation or map that you can provide to the areas.
And one qualification, I just want to clarification, I guess. Commissioner Weaver asked you approximately how many trucks per precinct.
Right.
You answered 12 to 14. Is that total county or
10
is
that per
precinct? That's total of the county.
Okay.
That's not per precinct.
10 to 12. He said 10 to 12.
10 to 12.
10 yeah. to 12 trucks.
So that is county wide.
County wide, yes, sir.
So okay. You're saying four trucks per precinct to a great degree.
Yes, sir.
We're going to be specific on this.
Well,
one.
Yeah, because I want to qualify.
Yeah.
One other quick question. You know, we had issues the last go around, maybe with some of your subcontractors who left our area to go pick up loads in another county that was devastated because their price was better. They were getting more money. Do we have any guarantees that you guys will control our subcontractors that work for you, that they will stay in our county until they're no longer needed?
Yes, sir. They're not going to be here.
We're not battling with 12 counties now in Harris County and not one of them. We don't have a storm in Florida, but we have four disturbances in the Atlantic or the Southern Gulf. One in the Southern Gulf anticipated to go into Mexico. With Karen out near the Bahamas, going towards the Bahamas, there's a chance that that can turn to the west. We're going to pray it stays to the east and watch the other two disturbances. Hopefully that we'll be finished by the time they farm.
Just
to echo what everybody else has said, I mean, we appreciate y'all being here, and I don't want y'all to feel like we're badgering you. But these are issues that we, as a commissioner's board, our constituents, had to live through a couple other storms, and they were real scenarios that caused us a lot of grief. So if you guys can just, you know, we're just asking for some reassurances that, you know, your contractors are sound, they're going to stay here for the duration, and the pickups are going to be done as we discussed here this morning. So please don't, you know, think we're badgering y'all. We just, you know, we're just trying to clarify things so our constituents, we can tell them, yes, we'll be taken care of. And I know y'all came back and did a lot of work after the fact last time, but it just prolonged the agony of our people in trying to get their life back in some form of normalcy. So thank you.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you.
And commissioners, I wanted to bring up one point from engineering. It was brought to my attention. We had an issue with private roads last time. Are private roads going to be included in our contract, or what do they have to do, people who are on private subdivisions?
They, in the past, I don't think they were even approved in the last storm.
How did we deal with private?
How did we deal with that?
Yeah.
It's unconstitutional for us to go on private property, public funds on private property, unless there is a tree leaning over their house in imminent danger of falling on the house or some such thing as that. If we got into a public health crisis where the debris on the property, probably under the health and safety code, we can go in then under our nuisance abatement order, but we can't go on private roads.
I think we'll go back and look and see what we did actually with the RV, and if we got them to get it to the county right away at the end of those drives.
We need to make sure we check that, please.
Because you're talking, you know, these are, you know.
Well, I got it out of Craven Road, Patterson Road. There's several private roads that intersect that road that are neighborhoods. Yeah. And if I recall, I think a lot of that debris was brought to the county road.
Yeah.
And that's okay if they get it to the county road, but we can't go down the
private road. Those are some of those old subdivisions that were done before the subdivision requirements, and we don't allow that kind of subdivision anymore without.
And we're doing this all under the assumption of FEMA reimbursement. You know, if there is, then I think we can look at some other avenues. I was going to let y'all know, as we have received and should proceed forward with some mutual aid agreements with the city of China and Nome, Taylor Landing, Bevel Oaks, to pick up the debris there. We did that last time in Harvey. So that coordination of effort, so they're not stopping at a little city line. They're going to move through there also, which you have.
But right now, as I understand it, all of the muckout debris and stuff will be transported to this temporary site at Fort Park.
Yeah, we have the one site. And what that'll do, that'll enable for the quicker runs. They'll do the compacting there, and then it'll be a short trip to go to Republic Place. And I think if they look at things, if anything needs to change on that, and add a site. I don't know that we have county property in other areas to facilitate driving big trucks on that didn't already, you're not going to go sink down in, Oh, and the other thing, I did want to mention Simon with Tetra Tech. I'm going to get y'all a flyer or get that pushed out. They actually handed me a flyer for hiring. There are some requirements, to have to be a debris monitor. They have a cell phone, reliable transportation, but they are $12 an hour, and time and a half over 40 hours. So we'll get y'all something in case anybody's looking for a job.
Thanks. It's at Coastal Zone County website.
Okay.
And get it to Ms. Getz to push out on the Facebook page.
Yeah, and I'd like to ask that emergency management, if you can kind of help gather some of this information on this debris, kind of talk out of Facebook, push that information out, especially when we confirm how we're handling the crop roads and people are getting that stuff to the county road, that way they'll know.
Once it's locked in, we'll make sure everything's going to go out on Facebook and do the EM site.
Thank you, gentlemen.
Thank you.
Thank you.
All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? I have unanimously. As the county auditor, I may consider an approved budget transfer to the Youth Revolution Center for additional costs for supplies in the amount of $1,460. And be consider approved budget transfer from Precinct 1 for additional costs for parts for radios in the amount of $450. Item C is consider an approved budget amendment for the Indigent Health for additional costs for pharmaceuticals in the amount of $4,000. Item D, consider an approved budget transfer for juvenile detention for additional costs for repairs in the amount of $5,000. Item E is to receive and file financial and operating statements for county funds only for the month ending August 31st, 2019. Item F is to receive and file a third amendment to the management agreement of the Ford Entertainment Complex in Jefferson County with Global Spectrum LP, DBA, Spectrum Venue Management, which revises the auditor requirements. G is considered approved electronic disbursement of $373,131.97 to LaSalle for revenue received from entities for inmate housing. Item H is considered possibly approved resolution for the Jefferson County Sheriff's Office submission of grant application for the Gulf States Regional Law Enforcement Technology Assistance Initiative, which is a competitive, fully funded grant request with an award ceiling of $150,000 and requires no cash match from the county. Item I is considering possibly approved charges for persons wishing to camp in the Harvey area at Walter Humphrey Park, effective October 1st, 2019, pursuant to Section 320 of the Texas Local Government Code. Rates shall be per tent as follows: $10 per day with a 14-day maximum. Item J is considering approved resolution for 2020 Indigent Defense Formula grant application. Item K is considered approved, received, and filed and amended sheriff's contract to be effective January 1st, 2020. And item L is regular county bill check number 463601 through 463868. Motion on those items under county auditor.
Second.
Moved by Commissioner Weaver, seconded by Commissioner Arnold. Any discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? The ayes have unanimously, and the county commissioner. Item A is consider possibly approve and authorize county judge to execute receipt file flat rate fixed fee contract between Jefferson County and the firm of Allison Bass and McGee to assure that the obligations imposed by state and federal law are satisfied with regard to the 2020 census redistricting. They provided these services as far as the 2010. Item B is receipt file executed confirmation of settlement agreement between Jefferson County and Pierre Chanta Pommier and Celeste Alexandra Flores. And cause number D131980. Item C is considering possibly approve a resolution to extend the disaster declaration for Tropical Storm Melba pursuant to Section 418.108B of the government code. Do we have a motion on items A through C?
So moved.
Moved by Commissioner Arnold, seconded by Commissioner Weaver. Any discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? The ayes have it unanimously. I'm going to conduct a public hearing before going to Dean Patrick. So, item B is consider approve an order to adopt a tax rate of 0.364977 cents per $100 valuation. Tax rate is 0.342205 for maintenance and operations and 0.022772 for debt service. And item E is conduct a public hearing on the proposed 2019-2020 Jefferson County budget. Do we have a motion on items D and D E?
Move.
Moved by Commissioner Weaver.
We need the wording on. We need the wording on motion.
I move that the property tax rate be increased by the adoption of a tax rate of 0.364977, which is effectively a 3.06% increase in the tax rate.
Now have our open on our hearing on 2019-2020 budget.
Need a second.
Adopted tax. Our public hearing is now open on adoption of the tax rate at 0.364977 for $100 valuation. Do we have anybody who wishes to speak to the issue of the Jefferson County tax rate? Public hearing is now open and the mic is
in focus. In the budget. The budget, the public hearing, budget. We had the 2 year on the tax rate.
Hearing none, I'll close this hearing. And Commissioner Weaver, just as a point of clarification, our tax rate is not going up from what it's been for several years. Since 2005, it's actually gone down. We're maintaining the same tax rate that we had for 3 or 4 years. Last time we went down a little bit to match the effective tax rate.
Yep.
The effective tax rate calculation is what the tax rate has to be in order to raise the same amount of revenue as you had during the previous tax year. Because of a few increases in appraised values of some industrial property, we're actually getting about $1.5 million more in revenue this year. Under the state law, we have to show that as an increase, even though it's an increase in revenue, but not an increase in the tax rate. All right. It's been moved and seconded on items D and E. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? The ayes have it unanimously. Under item F is to adopt the 2019-2020 budget. Item G is to consider and ratify the property tax increase reflected in the adopted budget. Do I have a motion on it?
G needs to be separate to
okay. Item F, do I have a motion on F?
So moved.
Second. By Commissioner Senegal, seconded by Commissioner Arnold. Any discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? The ayes have it unanimously. Item G is to consider and ratify the property tax increase reflected in the adopted budget. Do I have a motion on that?
Move.
I'll second. Any discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
We gotta have four ayes. Okay.
I have four ayes.
All right. All right. Passed unanimously. Moving on to county tax assessor collector. Item A is consider approved property tax refund in accordance with tax code 31.11 to Wells Fargo in the amount of $3,333.72. Do I have a motion on that? Moved by Commissioner Weaver.
Second.
Second by Commissioner Senegal. Any discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? The ayes have it. As county treasurer, item A is to receive and file the investment schedule for August 2019, including the year-to-date earnings on county funds. Do I have a motion on that item?
So moved.
Second. Moved by Commissioner Alford, Commissioner Arnold, seconded by Commissioner Sinegal. Any discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? The ayes have it. Under engineering, we have five items. Item A is to execute, receive, and file pipeline permit number 04P19, Enterprise PE Products Pipeline LLC, the 416-inch ethane pipeline under North Road in Jefferson County, located in precinct number 3. Item B is to execute, receive, and file the road use agreement between Jefferson County and Orbit Gulf Coast NGL Exports LLC for a new 20-inch pipeline construction on Friend Road, precinct number 4. Item C is to execute, receive, and file road use agreement between Jefferson County and Lone Star NGL Pipeline LP for a new 20-inch pipeline construction on Friend Road, precinct 4. Item D is to execute, receive, and file an overweight vehicle permit and road use agreement between Jefferson County and Enterprise TE Products Pipeline LLC to move heavy haul equipment and materials from Hebert Road, North Road, and Hobblewood Road, located in precincts 2 and 3. Item E is to consider and possibly approve a replat of Lot 58 Green Acres South in addition to the manual Torino survey located off Greenway Drive in precinct number 4. It's not within the ETJ of any city and has met all of our platting requirements. Do I have a motion on both items?
So moved.
Moved by Commissioner Alford, seconded by Commissioner Weaver. Any discussion?
Yes, Steve. On D, did they pull a bond on those roads?
Yes, sir.
They did?
They have to do that. Yes.
Secure the bond?
Yes, sir.
Any other discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? The ayes have it. Under risk management, item A, we have one item to consider and possibly approve an interlocal participation agreement renewal for employee and retiree benefits with the Southeast Texas Government Employee Benefits Pool effective January 1st, 2020. Do I have a motion on that?
So moved.
Moved by Commissioner Sinegal.
Second.
Second by Commissioner Weaver. Any discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? The ayes have it. Okay, is there anything any member of the court wishes to bring to the attention of the public without taking action of that?
I have a question to make sure that it was clarified that the date of the incident on the debris removal will be this Saturday, September 28th, correct?
Can I get a motion on that?
To all the media, please get that out as soon as possible so we can have the understanding.
Can I get a motion and second to vote on it again?
Yes, just make it.
Motion second.
Moved and seconded. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Yeah, I have it unanimously.
Also, Judge.
Yeah. Give that number out again.
Yeah. For those that might be watching on television, there is a group in addition to Texas Baptist Men, and he gave you their website a while ago. It's called crisiscleanup.org. You can register on there if you need assistance mucking out. They also have a phone number, which is 1-800-451-1954, 1-800-451-1954. You can also register with the Texas Baptist Men at their website, and you can register for case management services with the American Red Cross at 1-866-526-8300 and pick option 3. That's 1-866-526-8300, option 3 for case management. If no financial assistance available yet, if you register for case management, when and if financial assistance becomes available, you'll be registered with them for that help. Had a discussion with Roger Erickson at the National Weather Service. He sent an email last night saying that Imelda in Jefferson County is now the record holder for the first, fifth, and sixth most rainfall in U.S. history, number one being Harvey, number two being Imelda, and number three being Allison. He also believes that there was much more rain than what was recorded because a lot of the rain was going sideways in the winds. It recorded a little bit over 40 inches and believes that the that was about 18 inches more than that. So it was a significant event. We have approximately 6,000 homes in Jefferson County that have been damaged or destroyed. And I just want to express my deep gratitude and appreciation to all of our first responders who acted so admirably. They rescued somewhere around 1,200 families during this event. And there were probably a like number that were rescued by individual Good Samaritans. And of course, there were probably another like number who walked out themselves. I saw a lot of them in the south end of Beaumont that were walking out of flood-ridden areas themselves to higher ground. So we have a deep gratitude to our first responders. Again, we're extremely thankful to Texas Baptist Men for being here and partnering with the Red Cross. We have teams out in the field right now doing damage assessments. There are thresholds that FEMA has in order to qualify for local units of local government to qualify for public assistance. We have to have $37.7 million in uninsured losses across the 12 county disaster declared area by the governor. Once we reach that threshold, the president can sign a presidential disaster declaration that will allow us to hopefully receive supplemental disaster appropriations either in the form of community development block grant funds or direct funding from FEMA for our emergency operations, debris removal and monitoring and so forth. We're hoping to complete those damage assessments by the end of the day. We have five teams out in the unincorporated area. Beaumont was able to get theirs done this past weekend for the most part because the water drained out of Beaumont much more quickly than it has in the unincorporated area. Then there's an area of individual assistance to individuals and families that were impacted by this disaster who have received either FEMA individual assistance or community development block grant, housing program funding. We have to reach a threshold, I believe. And Gary, correct me if I say anything wrong, but 800 homes, uninsured homes, have received at least 18 inches of water, which is classified as major damage. And we're kind of sitting on the edge of a double-edged sword. Wonderful thing. The bad thing about, good and bad thing about this event occurring just 2 years from Harvey is that we had a lot of homes that flooded in Harvey that flooded again in Melvin. We had a lot of homes that didn't flood in Harvey that did flood in Melvin. In order to be eligible for that assistance, or anybody who flooded during Harvey and received either individual assistance from FEMA or got an SBA loan, those individuals automatically got 3 years of national flood insurance protection on their home. So they're going to be covered. That's the good thing about it. There may be homeowners out there who have coverage that don't know it. Somebody may have bought a house that was damaged in Harvey, bought it after Harvey, and didn't buy flood insurance. But I'm told by the Texas Division of Emergency Management that that insurance policy follows the home, not the owner. So there may be a lot of people out there that have flood insurance coverage that don't know it. That's great news. The bad news is that we've got to find 800 uninsured homes in the 12 counties that did not receive individual assistance, did not have insurance, did not get an SBA loan. And that's going to be critical to our damage assessment process to try to get to that. There were a lot of homes that flooded in Chambers County that did not flood in Harvey, so we're hopeful that those numbers there will help. And that's the status of where we are on the presidential disaster declaration.
Question on that. Is a must to have the 800 homes without insurance?
I think it's a predicate under the Stafford Act for the president to do a disaster declaration. I'm sure he could do one, but in order for Stafford Act funding to come through a supplemental disaster appropriations bill, we've got to meet those thresholds. I also think, given the gravity of the situation that we faced these last several years, all the way back to Rita in 2005, Mike in 2008, I have complained and complained at the federal level that the FEMA substantial damage rule is an impediment to our making our community more resilient as we move forward. What the FEMA substantial damage rule says, and before any of us were here, the county chose to participate in the National Flood Insurance Program. When you want to participate in the National Flood Insurance Program, you have to name a county floodplain administrator, who is our Steve Taft over here, our county engineer. You then have to establish a base flood elevation level. You can do base flood elevation as shown on the FEMA inundation map. You can go 1 foot above that, 2 foot above it, 3 foot above it. The higher you go, supposedly, the lower the NFI premiums are. We, before any of us got here, the county adopted a level of 1 foot above base flood elevation. We would like to go to 3 foot. So whenever somebody wants to build a house, they come in to see Rhonda over here in our environmental department. She looks at the FEMA flood inundation map and determines what base flood elevation is. So tells them that when their slab is completed, they have to be 1 foot above that elevation. And Entergy will not hook them up to power if they don't come up to that level. The FEMA substantial damage rule says that if a structure suffers 50% or more of its pre-disaster fair market value in damage, then that structure cannot be rebuilt unless we bring it up to existing standards. So I think it's pretty clear that all of us would like to go to 3 foot above base elevation tomorrow to make sure that our community becomes more resilient over the years. Unfortunately, if we did that, we would put all those people who have built at 1 foot above base flood elevation, if they get flooded, we put them in danger. If you tell a community that has 1,000 homes flooded that built to the standards we had adopted 20 years ago, that they can't rebuild their home, we're taking away the biggest asset they've ever had. So we're trying to get the federal government to do away with the substantial damage rule, because if we go to a higher number, we could make incremental improvements in the resilience of our community over the course of a number of years as those older structures begin to go away. So we'll see changes in that across the nation as we move forward.
Judge, I'd like to just echo your comments you made about the emergency responders, the sheriff's office, our precinct working with them. And I'd be remiss if I didn't mention our precinct workers, because
yes,
Wednesday night,
I count them as first responders.
Wednesday night, I can speak to my guys, they were hunkered down. We sheltered in place in dump trucks when that storm came through, and it hit us in waves. And so working together with the sheriff's office, great things were done. And so I appreciate that cooperation. And then lastly, Judge, when the opportunity presents itself, I'd like the airport to give a status update. And then hear from Rhonda on some of our permitting that involves every precinct. And then, of course, last but not least, and most important, mosquitoes. So if it's the court's pleasure, I'd like to ask Alex to give a report on the airport, and then Rhonda and
Kevin. Absolutely. And next month, the next Tuesday, excuse me, we will have an item on the agenda to waive the fee for permitting for people that want to get to work on their thing. I have authorized under the emergency powers provisions of Chapter 418 of the Governing Code or Ron, go ahead and waive those fees this week, pending the court's vote on it next week.
Good enough.
Alex, go ahead.
Well, the airport, we're back up and running full power now. We had very little actual damage. We were able to quickly remove any debris on the runways as soon as possible. We accomplished that Friday morning. the day of the storm Thursday, we closed the airfield at 8 o'clock in the morning. We had standing water at various locations throughout the runways and taxiways. I didn't take any exact measurements out there, but opinion-wise, I believe that we had actually a little bit more water than we did during Harvey. It seemed to come down much faster in a short amount of time. No real substantial damage other than had a minor roof leak in the commercial terminal in the patching boarding area. We're having Marsh Waterproofing come out, take a look and see what is going on with that. Jerryware terminal has some leaks. We're continuing to explore and find out what is actually causing that. We did lose power Thursday. Both the Jerryware terminal and the airfield were down. We're running on secondary power. Energy quickly identified the problem, hot shot us a new transformer, got us back up and running. So we're okay now.
And I'll also give a shout out to Entergy for restoring power really expeditiously. They did a fantastic job.
We have already started taking permit applications. Unfortunately, people that went through Harvey know the process and know to get with us. As you mentioned, there are several areas that have not previously flooded and they may not know they need permits. So we do need help getting that information out to everybody. If you've had damage, you need to come to my office and fill out a permit so we can get you going on the right path. The other thing we've done is I worked with Allison, and we have a paper copy of that questionnaire. So while you're at my office, if you haven't been able to get through the phone call line, you can fill that out there, and we've got information for her as well.
Right. Also on those on well water testing.
I can put that information out there. We don't provide that, but I'll get that for the public so they know how to do that. I have that party.
Yeah, I think something happened with all the homeowner was. Help with that.
You may have mentioned, but just for clarification, this is in the unincorporated
area
of the county, right?
Only unincorporated.
Okay. So the cities have their own permanent permits. Thank you.
Thank you, Rhonda. Also mentioned, I just got a text from Phil Kelly at Drainage District 7. A lot of people have been calling me wanting to know when the gate structure on Highway 365 is going to be open. It is now open. It was safe to open yesterday evening around 5. They have to wait for the water to go down below the seals on the gate before they can open it. It did that yesterday evening. TxDOT requested that they keep it closed until such time as they could get the lights. There's a construction project on the Hill Brent Bio Bridge on 365 that necessitates one-way traffic, so they have lights on either side of the bridge to allow one-way traffic to proceed sequentially. The lights were flooded out during Imelda and they had to go out and replace them. They now accomplished that, and the gates are open and 365 travel is available.
Can you give a bit on 73? That's what I was on.
73, just Mike, I'll ask Mike, do you have the sheriff?
It's open.
It's open. Arrest somebody yesterday morning. Went around the barricade.
Yeah. It is open, but I just got a call, and we had to send some units out there because there's still animals out there. And so we've got units stationed out there. We still prefer people not to take that route, but if they do, to go slow, because everybody was racing down, 73 less than 30 minutes ago, we had to send some units out. So still got cowboys out there trying to round up cattle and horses.
Before you sit down, Sheriff, and hold for Mosquito to be the last one, because he's the most popular guy in town. Sheriff, I want to make sure I give you kudos, because I know you had some crews mucking out in my precinct. I rode through and seen what they were doing. That's why we know it's critical that we start this debris pickup, without a doubt. And the other thing is, Judge and Court, I think it's paramount, and I think I've already talked to you, Judge, about it, that we get some water utility vehicle, because our personnel has to get to helping the public in the time and manner. And we do, without a question. I know Commissioner Center brought this up during Harvey. We need boats, because I had to bring water and MREs to people in where you live, in your community, but I had to borrow the Cajun Navy to do that. So we have to look at our citizens. This is Jefferson County, and Jefferson County should do things in a way that our citizens know that we should. Well, and I appreciate everything you did for our community.
Well, first of all, let me thank again. I consider
all the guys that work for you guys, first responders, because I started calling all y'all, I think that Wednesday night, saying I need dump trucks and barricades just to get our officers there. So, but we got it done. Within the last couple of days, we have inmate crews out now in all our unincorporated areas, and in 2 days, we've done over 60 homes. And so when we're talking about demucking at this point, we're not pulling sheetrock out. We're identifying folks, elderly and disabled people, citizens in our community who can't carry the mattresses out and the heavy stuff. And so I was out there yesterday, we did 20. The day before yesterday, we did 20. And already this morning, we did 10. We've done 10 and with some more scheduled. So if people contact you, if you can send them, get the information to us, we've got about 5. So you guys will not have your work release crews, okay? Because we are using those inmates and those officers to go out and try to, you know, help some of those folks.
Did you flood, Sheriff? You did flood also.
Yes, sir.
You flooded again.
Yep. Yeah. I'm waiting on somebody right now to come out and pull.
Yeah, I want to thank you all. So, you like to lost your deputy commissioner on 124. Wednesday night, I mean, that good Lord is with me. I'm not deserving of it, but that dump truck almost went this color bayou with us in there. But,
well, I think
they had 18-wheeler going in.
Yeah. We watched it.
I think a testament to the partnership. I think we have some of your dump trucks and Bevel Oaks.
Yeah.
And stuff. And so we were pulling people from all over the county. And so your guys are certainly first responders.
Yeah,
so,
thank y'all.
Thank you.
Sheriff, if you could, just on another note, I think we were at 2 sheriff department vehicles damaged and 1 constable vehicle. Unfortunately, 2 of those vehicles, I think, were brand new. Have we gotten any new numbers?
We're working on that again because we have people scattered so many different areas. I think it's going to be more than that. We're trying to dry out some vehicles that didn't totally flood but got wet. You know, some of the water rose and so they came up through the floorboards. Unfortunately, that's where all our that's where the brains of the vehicles are. So we're still trying to figure it out. Hopefully by the end of the day, the guys are working on it. Hopefully we'll have, because it's not just cars. We've got a lot of other equipment that we use, and so we're trying to get a good inventory, a good number for you.
Thank you. Mm-hmm.
Hey, Judge, I'm gonna get in there before mosquito control. This stuff keeps trickling in additional vehicles. I had the number was 2. I'm hearing it's a little bit more now. Be sure if you walk into a building, you have some kind of damage, be sure you send an email to me. Just send it directly to me, Harrison, CO, so that we can get this information to our customer. And we have deductibles on individual deductibles on each of our buildings. We may or may not reach those deductibles, but we need to at least report that damage. Because it'll be important if we do get that federal assistance, if we get that federal declaration, we'll work with FEMA hopefully to get that information back. But it's important. I don't care if I get it multiple times. We'll sort through it. We just need to make sure we get that information reported to us. Thank you.
Thank you. And finally.
Well, I was just going to say.
Kevin, you just go home.
Sound like a broken record, but, you know, on the roads.
Yeah.
Good. We do know the status of our roads because we just had them all looked at for Harvey. But as it goes, we'll try one more time. Don't expect much.
We just redid them back.
I know, so they should say, we've got them.
Are they insured on the flood plan?
No insurance on the road. Sorry. But, we'll take another shot at saying that's it.
All right. Well, the bad news is, if we're going to get mosquitoes, we probably won't know until Thursday or Friday. We're getting counts this morning. I had my secretary text them to me while we're sitting here. And they're not bad right now. The north zone is really north and northwest. We've got the highest so far with a 10 count in a 3-minute time period, and that was just north of Meeker. And that was the highest one we've had. Awake on the central zone should have been by 45 minutes ago, and that's where Hampshire and Fannett and all those areas are, so they probably can't make it to some of those areas. And then the south zone, which is mid-county down to the coast, they're fairly low. So, and I really don't anticipate.
And that's because patches don't occur until approximately
7 days after.
We did put an airplane out in Finette night before last. We put an airplane out in Hampshire last night. I intend to have one out in hopefully more than one tonight in LaBelle. I was a pilot shore. One of our pilots actually lives in Winnie and got flooded. So he's been in there to make it in. I'm hoping to have him and possibly our contract pilot back today. And we can cover more area. It's going to get worse before it gets better, I'm afraid. When Harvey hit, I didn't expect a lot, and we didn't really get a lot. And I think the reason was the majority of the rain, the heaviest rain, fell in South County and at Harvey. We had pumps down there, 19 pump stations, and the water was pumped out rather quickly. We didn't have time to sit there. It wasn't a salt marsh event. It didn't come in out of the Gulf, so it didn't push in a lot of salt water. So we didn't have a lot of salt marsh mosquitoes, which we have more of in this area than anything else.
And those are the ones that carry more disease?
No. The salt marsh mosquitoes, not the flood-borne mosquitoes, carry much disease. Salt marsh mosquitoes are rice foot mosquitoes. Those are both flood-borne mosquitoes. That's what these events are going to probably cause us to have. And that's disease is not the problem. It's just going to be a nuisance. They're going to be in big, big numbers. But like I said, Harvey didn't produce a lot of salt marsh mosquitoes, so it really didn't produce a lot of anything. And we didn't have a lot of mosquitoes from Harvey. This one, I'm afraid, is going to be totally different because the heaviest rains fell in North and West County, where there's no pump system to get the water out. It's still sitting there, which means they can have more time to breathe. It's probably not going to be salt marsh mosquitoes. It's probably going to be rice foot mosquitoes. Regardless, they're floodwater mosquitoes. They're just as aggressive. And I'll know by Thursday or Friday. If not before, but it's probably going to be around Thursday at least that we start seeing some numbers come in. And they floodwater mosquitoes, the way they work is they lay their eggs on dry ground near water. So an event will come in, they all millions and millions of eggs, and all of a sudden the water comes in, they all hatch out at the same time. That's why you have no mosquitoes one day and you have tons and tons of mosquitoes the next day. We have to play catch up. We can't hit them before they come out, so we are going to be playing, trying to play catch up with them. I always ask for patience, and I don't always get it, but we ask for it because people want, you know, if they have a lot of mosquitoes, they want to be sprayed right now, and it's going to take us a while to make our way. But we will have our airplanes and our trucks out every day, morning and evening, as needed.
You say you can't do nothing to give them before they have the hatch before
they have the hatch part.
So the landing counts are very important.
Absolutely. And we're going to be getting those every day this week. Normally we get them on Monday and Wednesday. I'm going to do that anymore.
Do we have anybody in the Cheeks area that's working to get those landing counts
yes.
in that area?
Yes, we split the county in zones. We have three inspectors go out. And they go to the same areas. And so we cover all those areas, okay. Sheep included. Hampshire, Finette, LaBelle, all those areas. And each day, the water's coming down, so hopefully we can get to these areas sooner rather than later. But I won't know yet, but I just have a feeling that this is gonna be more of a mosquito event than Harvey was. So.
Thank you for that. And please keep us apprised of the towns. Judge Sylvius in Chambers County sent out emails to all county judges in disaster impacted counties yesterday asking for a star request from each county for mosquito spraying. I had promised Chief Kidd on Saturday that I would wait until we got landing rates and information before we did that. I told Judge Sylvius, he said he would wait for landing rate information too. Just while we're on the subject, I want to also express my gratitude to the Governor, to Chief M. Kidd at Texas Division of Emergency Management, to Representatives Phelan and Desitel and Senator Creighton. And, they have been extremely helpful, not only with getting donations, but assisting us with our STAR request. We have had no unmet needs. Everything we've asked for from the state we've gotten, and so they've been extremely supportive. They sent two Chinook helicopters down here this past weekend to assist us in our K-9 cattle feeding operations for those livestock that were isolated by flood water. They did 3,200 bales at about 40 different locations throughout the county over the course of about 48 hours. We then demoed those assets and released them to Chambers County. And that was a great benefit to keeping our cattle population, assisting our ranchers. Go ahead.
I just received the central zone, and right now there's nothing showing up. So, again, it's early. That's Hampshire, but that, not all that area. One more note. When our pilots spray, we know how bad mosquitoes are going to be just from what lands on the windshield and the front wings. And so they report to me every time, every evening they're spraying. They'll text me, let me know how the flight went. And I don't have to ask them anymore. They just know I'm going to ask what the bugs look like. And the last two nights he flew, he says, not many bugs. So they're not out yet. There's not many on the windshield, not many on the frontal areas of the airplane. So we'll know when they get heavy.
Also, Judge, I want to thank Dr. Waltz and the commissioner after that. Oh, you have sheep. But yesterday they were in Hampshire giving out tetanus shots. I think they're going to work the entire county, all employees, but even the citizens need to get those shots. I was sitting there about 4 hours, and people were coming in with cuts and bruises where they stepped on rusty nails and different things. So that mobile medical RV is what it is. It's already paying dividends to the people. I suggest that people check this. I think Commissioner Apple gave out a schedule. He's going to cover that and give it to for all the county. And when you really need to go and encourage the citizens that was in that water, as I was, and a lot of the sheriff deputies to go get those shots. Hepatitis and I think tetanus and hepatitis shot. Please go with it.
And we'll put this schedule out on the Jefferson County Office of Emergency Management Facebook page. Mike, is there anything you want to say?
No, you're talking.
Thank my emergency management coordinator, Mike White, and all his staff. We have had people in the EOC throughout the event, from the Coast Guard, the Texas Division of Emergency Management, the Red Cross, and other groups that have been helping us, and we're deeply appreciative of the assistance. Anything else, Commissioner? An hour and 7 minutes. That was a really long meeting for us. So, nothing further, we are adjourned. Thank you. Thank you.